Just wanna thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. I just wanna thank you, Lord, for always being there. When was so down and out, you came along and made me wanna shout. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I had a thousand lives to live, I'd give them all for my Lord. He's been so good to me. It's the least I could afford. He's been a bad just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When was so deep in sin, having no hope and no peace within, I just call on your name. You took all my sin and my shame. Was so down and out, you came along and made me wanna shout. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I was so down and out, you came along and made me wanna shout. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This next song we're gonna be singing is "Because He Loves Me," and every time I sing this song, a verse always comes to my heart, and it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm so glad for God's love. It's because that he loves you and I that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so we can be saved. And his love is far beyond what we can think or what we can ask. And I just thank the Lord for that.
This would be the end of his pain,
but on a dirt and glorious day.
Because He loved me.
Because He loved me,
my Savior died. Oh, that cross was crucified.
No greater
love for mortal man has ever been known.
Oh, praise His dear name,
He loved me so. Now I am His, He's mine, I know.
Mercy walked in.
Oh, the blood
mercy
was
walked in.
Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken. I felt born again. That moment when mercy walked in. That covered my sin.
Forgiven when mercy was dead.
Forgiven when mercy was dead.
This world.
Beats a praise and worship band any day of the week, doesn't it? Praise God. Amen. Oh my. 2 Samuel chapter number 5, if you would please. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Thank you all very much. Brother Sonny, you taught them all how to sing. That's why you can't anymore, right? You learned them everything you know, huh? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. What a blessing it is. Now, somebody whispered in my ear, said them and the Kendricks ought to get together and sing a song, man. We just enjoy all of it. Praise the Lord. And listen, songs like that, if that don't do something in your heart, you're lost. Or you're so far backslidden, I'll tell you, you need to get on this altar and don't leave till God shows up. Amen. You can't hear songs about our Savior and what He's done when mercy walked in. My soul, what a blessing that is. And then that song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. I just think about the God of all the universe, Brother Doug, chose us. But we'd rather have Facebook friends. We'd rather have everything this world has to offer, but I tell you what, I'd rather have Jesus. Amen. What a friend we have in Him. A year or so ago, I was doing a study on 1 and 2 Samuel, and I was preaching a series on Wednesday night on 1 and 2 Samuel. And I came across this passage in chapter 5, and I was going down through here, and I love how in the Bible when they named their children, a lot of times they had meanings to the names, and behind it there was a reason that they named them what they did. And I was going down through this passage, and I was studying for this, and I had preached about this about a year or so ago. But as I was praying about what God wanted me to preach tonight, I know there's a lot of struggles that we're going through today. A lot of people under the attack of Satan. A lot of people that are going through some things. And I just want to be an encouragement to you tonight. I want to share with you what it means to be a child of God in the house of God tonight. And in 2 Samuel chapter number 5, I would invite you to stand with me as we read the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Starting in verse number 1, it said, "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel and shalt be captive over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites and the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, and shalt not come in thither, thinkest David cannot come in thither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore, they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called in the city of David, and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram king of Tyre sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons, and they built David an house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shemua and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon and Ibhar also and Elishu and Napheg and Japhiah and Elishama and Eliada and Eliphalet. And as I was reading through those names, I got to verse 16 and I thought about why God put everything in the Bible where it is on purpose. And as I began to study this, I thought, why in the world did God list the names of these kids? What significance does this play? And as I began to do a study and look down through them, I thought about David's life and I thought about some things that was going on. And here God is setting up David's kingdom and talking about David's kingdom and David's being established as king over the nation and all of these things. And the Philistines, we know, are the devout enemies of the nation of Israel, and they were out to destroy them, and David was going to lead them, and God was setting up everything that he had wanted to do. And as I was going down through here, I began to go through, and I recognized some of the names that were on there, but there was three that just jumped out at me, and that's in verse 16. It said Elishama and Eliada and Eliphalet, and I thought, I never heard of them before. Who are they? And I got to, I thought, man, I'm glad I wasn't named those things. Could you imagine looking at somebody today and saying, hi, Elishama, how are you? And looking at somebody else and saying, hey, Eliphalet, how are you? And most of us would be like, don't call me that, call me by my middle name, you know. That's what we thought. But as I began to search out what these names meant, I thought David understood exactly who God was and who he was. And I'm going to talk to you. It said, and David named the names of these kids. And I want to talk to you about being a child of the king tonight. Being a child of the king. Here's a list of some of the names of the children of the king. And I want you to know, if you're saved here today, your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a child of the king. And I want to share with you what these names mean and how we can find comfort and glory in what these three names mean. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths of it. Lord, thank you that we can learn just what out of a name, Lord, the name that David named. You put this here for a reason. And as I began to study this and look at this, Lord, what a tremendous joy I had and a comfort to my heart and my soul to find out, Lord, what it is to be a child of the King. Lord, I love you and thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. You know, it's a joy to my heart to hear about what God is doing all across this country, all across the world. And we heard our brother talk about what God's doing in the Philippines. What a joy it is to know there's people overseas reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I begin to read this passage and I lead up, the Philistines are going to try to attack the nation of Israel again and the battles that they're facing in their country. I think of the battles that we face in our country every day. We live in a world that's a picture almost of what the Philistines were, the devout enemies of God. They were always against God, and anything that God had, anything the nation of Israel wanted, Philistines wanted as well. They were willing to attack and fight no matter what it cost. They were willing to deceive. They were willing to connive. They were willing to do whatever they had to do to overcome the Philistines or the Israelites. And that's what the world does to God's church, to the people of God. And a lot of times we get discouraged and we throw in the towel and we give up the fight and we just quit. And I think about the attack that we've seen here over the recent year, even the year and a half that I've been down here in North Carolina, how the same-sex marriage laws and different things that they've tried to do all across the world, and the, you know, how they passed laws where the Boy Scouts now have to allow homosexual leaders to be scout leaders and different things of that nature, and these transgender bathrooms that they're trying to pass. And oh, it just seems like we're really under attack. The devil's going full steam ahead. And listen, he's going to. The closer it gets to the Lord's return, he's going to fight as hard as he can fight. And it's not time for us to back down. It's not time for us to give in. It's not time for us to throw in the towel. It's time for us to send out more missionaries. It's time for us to pray for our missionaries even harder. It's time for us to take our mission field and do what God has called us to do here, and to keep reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because our brother was right. It does still work. God has not changed. He's still the same God that He's always been. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. And listen, I can rejoice in the fact that the same God that Elijah prayed down fire from heaven to consume the altars is still the God that's sitting on the throne tonight. And as I begin to think about as my salvation, the Bible says, if you read in 1 John, that we become sons of God when we get saved. We're a child of the King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I can be called a son of God because of what Jesus Christ had done for me. And as I was sitting there thinking about that song that they were singing, when Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, listen, I deserve hell tonight. But Jesus Christ came in and He paid that debt that you and I owe. And because He drew me into Himself and I received Him as my Savior, my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm a child of the King tonight, not because of anything I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. And He allowed me to be His child. And I'm so grateful for that. And as I think of the attack that we're under here today, and the Supreme Court rulings and everything that they're trying to do, and this upcoming election, you can worry about it all you want to, but it doesn't matter if Hillary Clinton gets in office, it doesn't matter if Donald Trump gets in office, it's still going to be a mess no matter what if God's church doesn't do what they're supposed to do. And as a child of the King, listen, we have responsibilities, and the Bible says, do much is given, much is required. And guess what? You've been given a lot when you were given eternal life. He gave you something that the world cannot have without Jesus Christ. You have something. You've been adopted into the family of God. You know, I think about that word adopted. Why does He say it's good to be adopted? When you adopt a child, if I understand the laws correctly, when you adopt a child, you can never disown that child. I can disown my blood children. I can say I don't want them to do anything to do with me. I can do all of that. But if I adopt them as my child, I can't ever disown them. And that's a good point on eternal security, by the way, isn't it? When we've been adopted into the family of God, we're there to stay. We're a child of the King, and what a wonderful joy that is. But listen, there's wickedness all around us. We can tuck our tail and run and suck our thumbs and cry all we want to cry, but it's never going to change the fact that there's a wicked world out there that's trying to destroy the church of God. They're trying to destroy everything that God holds dear and that this book teaches on. And as I begin to read down through these, I don't believe that they're here by accident. I don't believe that the translators of the King James Bible made mistakes when they put that in here. I believe God perfectly designed it. He inspired it. He preserved it. He placed it here for our learning and for our betterment, to encourage us as a child of the King that even though times are getting tough, even though we live in a generation where they're trying to criticize us from the stand that we take for God, even though they look at us as funny — we're supposed to be funny, by the way. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different than the world is. We're supposed to act different than they are and live different. Why? Because we have a family. Our Father expects more out of us than what the world's father expects out of them. But as I began to look at these, and I thought about these three boys — I could go through all the names of all of these as I looked them up, but these three really stood out to me, really encouraged my heart, really put joy in my soul when I looked at these three names, because it brought strength and encouragement and boldness to stand up for what I need to stand up for. Because as a child of the King, there's something behind the name that the King gave His kids. And as I looked at these, the first one we're going to look at there is Elishama. As I began to look up this name, I thought, what is the reason that this name is here, God? Can you show me why You place this in verse 16? It's an easy verse to remember. It says, "An Elishama, an Eliada, and Eliphalet." There's a memory verse that you didn't know that you know now. Okay? Three different names, but what do they mean? when you memorize this verse, here's what you're memorizing. The first one name, Elishama, means God hears. God hears. Let me tell you this tonight, church. As a child of the King, your Father who sits on the throne hears your prayers tonight. He hears you when you call. He knows when you're calling out to Him. I want you to look at Psalm chapter number 4, if you would please turn there. And David is writing here in Psalm chapter 4. And I want you to see, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what God was telling him to put in the pages. Listen, we know He named His children. First one, Elishama, God hears. Psalm 4 and verse 1, He said, "Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." What He's saying is, God, I know You hear me. God, please continue to hear me. Look at Psalm chapter number 20. Psalm chapter number 20 and verse number 1. David saying here again, "Lord, the Lord heareth thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defendeth," or "defend thee." Listen, it doesn't matter what comes your way, friend. It doesn't matter what heartache you're about to face. It doesn't matter what trial you're going through. As a child of the King, God hears. God hears. Look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Psalm 61 and verse 5. "For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name." He said God heard him. God heard his vows. Look at Psalm 66 and verse 19. I hope you don't mind reading the Bible tonight. Psalm 66 and verse... Look at verse 18 and 19. It says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayers. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." Listen, I believe there's times in our Christian life when we push God away. I believe there's times that we make God have to do this. You know why? Even though as a child of the King, a lot of times we rebel against what our Father tells us we ought to do. We have iniquity that's in our hearts. And there's times that, listen, He wants to bless. He wants to do things, but we have to come to Him and say, "Father, I'm sorry. I've messed up." I want you to understand there's a misconception out there that when you sin after you're saved, that God boots you out of His family. Okay? It doesn't do that. It separates fellowship with the Father. Okay? And when you come back in a repentant heart and a repentant spirit, you renew that fellowship. Unless, guess what? The mercy of God goes like this. "Tell me, cast all your cares upon me. Why? For He cares for you." Listen, God hears tonight. God hears. Look at Daniel chapter number 9. Turn there if you would please. Daniel chapter number 9. Look at verse number 18. "O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for the city of thy people are called by thy name." Listen, God wants us to cry out to Him because the Lord wants to hear us. And as a child of the King, let me tell you tonight, you can go to God. You can come to Him. He's going to listen. You come to Him with the right spirit and the right heart. Listen, the Bible says God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Don't go to God with your finger pointing at Him saying, "God, you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that." Because God's going to go. But let me tell you this, if you come to God humble, broken, God hears. God hears. Let me tell you what that lost loved one that you've been praying for years. God hears. Don't quit praying. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why? Because as a child of the King, your Father hears. Elishama, I thought, what in the world is that there for? God hears. God hears. The second one, Eliada, means God knows and cares for. God knows and cares for. Look back to Psalm, if you would please. Psalm chapter number 40. The psalmist who's writing here, he's the one that named these children. He said, God hears. And we saw all the verses where he's saying, hear me, God. Please hear me, God. Hear me, God. He said, God knows. I want you to look at Psalm 40 in verse number 9. He said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth of Thy great congregation. Listen, when he was looking through this, he was reminded, he said, Lord, Thou knowest. Thou knowest. Listen, God knows what you're going through. God knows everything about you. God knows all. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything there is to know about you. You know why He created you? God knows. Your Father, you don't have to go to Him and say, God, don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you understand this struggle? Yes, He understands. Yes, He knows. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that God knows? Listen, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, He came here for a specific purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. But the prophet Isaiah wrote under the inspiration of God in Isaiah 53, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Listen, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes were healed. Listen, God knows everything about you because he bore your griefs. He carried your sorrows. Your iniquity was placed upon him. Your transgressions were placed upon him. Everything that you're ever going to experience, that you're ever going to bear, was placed upon him on the cross of Calvary. And let me tell you this, there's nothing that you're going to go through that your Father doesn't know. He already knows. You know why? Because he's already bore it for you. You just have to trust him. You just have to trust him. Listen, God knows. We can't point our finger and tell God something. Did it occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? You're not going to tell him something new that he doesn't know? You're not going to be able to look at him and say, God, do you understand what they're doing in our nation today? Yes, God knows. Because he died for all of it. Every wickedness, every sin, every abomination, every lie, every murder, every homosexual act, every wicked, vile thing that you could think of, he already took care of. He knows what you're going through. There's many verses that we could turn to. I'm not going to do all that for sake of time, but Psalm 69 and verse 5, Psalm 139 verse 2 and 4, Jeremiah 15 and verse 15, Jeremiah 18 verse 23, John 16 and verse 30. I want you to turn there, if you would please, to John chapter number 16. You ever hear somebody say, God doesn't know all things? Read them this verse. John chapter 16, starting verse 29. His disciples saith unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. Jesus answered, "Do we now believe?" Listen, God knows all things. He knows all things. Look over in John 21, a few pages over. John 21. Starting in verse 15. This has been a repetitive thing that Jesus and Peter have been talking about. Look at verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Look what he said. He said, "Thou knowest. Thou knowest I love thee." Do you think Jesus knew whether Peter loved him or not? Of course he did. He knows if you love him or not. But look what he said to him. "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, "He saith unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" You think Jesus was trying to, he just didn't grasp what Peter was saying? No, he knew. He knew Peter was the hard-headed one. Okay? Peter was the hard-headed one. "He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time. He's like, "Lord, I've told you the last two times. You know I love you." Look what he says. "And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. And thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep." Listen, friend, let me tell you something. It's not that God doesn't know. It's God's given you an opportunity to show Him how much you love Him. You can say that you love God all you want to, but actions speak louder than words. I can tell my wife, "Lori, I love you." I can tell her that. But if I never show her that, my words are meaningless. I have to show her that I love her. She doesn't just want to hear it from my lips. She wants to see it in my actions. And listen, my Heavenly Father, who saved me from hell, who made me a joint heir with Jesus Christ, God wants, yes, He knows if we love Him or not, but He wants us to prove it. He wants us to prove our love to Him. He wants us to show Him how much we love Him. He wasn't telling Peter, "Peter, I'm sorry, I'm not understanding what you're saying." What He's saying is, "Peter, listen, don't just sit here and tell me that you love me. Show me that you love me. Prove it. Prove it that you love me." Listen, Tabernacle Baptist Church, don't just tell God you love Him. Show God that you love Him. Listen, He knows. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows it all. Because man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. He knows whether you love Him or not. He knows whether you're sincere or not. He knows everything about you. But listen, as a child of the King, God doesn't only hear, He knows. No matter what's going on, He knows. Look at Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Look at verse 24. "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen." Listen, they were making a statement here, a very valuable statement that encourages my heart. They said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men." You know, God encouraged me through this study, through these names, that God hears, and God knows, and God cares for. But this last one, Eliphalet, this is what it meant. God delivers. God delivers. Listen, church, if you memorize that verse, this is what it says. God hears, God knows, God delivers. God hears, God knows. And God delivers. David learned all the way back with Goliath and all the times that he was in battle that God delivers. He learned as he was running from Saul that God delivers. He learned out of all of his ups and downs that God delivers. That God takes care of him. And there's so many verses that we could read. I want to share a few with you though. Look at Psalm chapter number 7. Psalm chapter 7 and verse number 1. O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. He knew who to call on for deliverance, didn't he? Look at Psalm 18. Flip over a few pages there if you would. Psalm 18. Look at verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me. And he tells why. Because he delighted in me. Did you hear that? He delivered me. Why? Because he delighted in me. Why does God hear us? Why does God allow us to be saved? Because he delights in fellowshipping with us. He delights in us. Look at verse 43. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve thee. Look at verse 48. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, he's talking about, I get deliverance from God. I get deliverance from God. Look at Psalm 32 and verse number 7. Psalm 32. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. You know what he's saying there? That word Selah means stop and think about this. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Look at Psalm 34 and verse number 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Look at Psalm 50. Psalm 50 and verse number 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Listen, when you're in a day of trouble, you don't need to call your friends. You don't need to call the world. You don't need to get on Facebook and tell everybody about your problems. Just call upon Him. He wants to deliver you. And there's other verses we could turn to. We could keep on going all the way through the book of Psalms. Psalm 54, verse 7. Psalm 55, verse 18. Psalm 70, verse 1 and verse 5. Psalm 81 and verse 7. Psalm 86 and verse 13. Psalm 91 and verse 3. Psalm 91, verse 14 and 15. Psalm 109, 21. Psalm 119, 134, verse 153. Verse 154, verse 170. Psalm 144 and verse 2. We can turn to all those talking about the deliverance of God. Look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter number 11. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion. It didn't say a deliverer. Notice it's a capital. D. It's the deliverer. That deliverer, friend, is the way, the truth, and the life. That no man can come unto the Father except by Him. That deliverer, that one that delivers you from the bondage of sin. That same one who delivers you from your enemies. Who delivers you from all of the troubles, all of the trials, all the heartaches. Though we're not going to go through those things, He delivers us and brings us out of them. Why? Because we're a child of the King. We're a child of the King. If you ever memorize a verse in Scripture, what a verse to memorize. Could you imagine looking at somebody, an Elishama, an Eliada, an Eliphalet? There's my memory verse. They'll look at you like, what does that mean? But here's how you could say it. God hears. And God knows. And God delivers. Listen, if that doesn't encourage your heart tonight, there's something wrong. Because let me tell you something. We're going to go through hard times. The longer it takes for the Lord to come back, the worse and worse this world's going to get. They're going to try to persecute us even more and more and more. And that's not time to turn our backs on God, to turn our backs on the things of God. Just understand who He is and who you are because of salvation. You have a Father who's watching over you, who's protecting you, who's there to hear you when you cry. He's there to help. He knows everything that's going on. He's already orchestrated everything. He knows how it's going to play out. If you'll just trust Him and understand this, He'll deliver you through it if you follow His way. If you follow His way. David's saying, listen, God hears, God knows, and God delivers. You know, we know about Solomon, the son of David. We know about his son Absalom. We hear about all of them. But in Scripture, you read this verse. It says, "An Elishama, an Eliada, an Eliphalet." And I thought, what in the world? God hears. God knows. And God delivers. Listen, that ought to encourage your heart tonight. There's nothing you're going to go through that your Heavenly Father doesn't know about. And He wants you to cry to Him because He's there to hear. And He's there to deliver you. Listen, if you're here and you're lost, you're not a child of the King. Listen, there's a prayer that He'll hear when you pray it, believing that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, when you trust Christ as your Savior, He writes your name down. Adopted. You're part of His family. And then He just wants you to call on Him. He wants you to cry out to Him. Cast all your cares upon Me, for He careth for you. Listen, why do we need to do that? Because we have a God that sits in heaven. And he doesn't sit there with a little zapper waiting to zap us when we do wrong. He loves us. And his mercy is great. And his grace is sufficient. And he's there to hear us. He knows what you're going through. And he's there to deliver you. That excites me. I don't know of any other so-called God that's that way. Allah's never done that for anybody. Buddha's never done that for anybody. But listen, we serve a living Savior. We don't have to worship a statue. We don't have to worship a dead idol. We have a living Savior that wants you to talk with Him. He's there to hear you when you cry out to Him. He knows what you're going through, and He's there to deliver you. Listen, this message was just an encouragement to you, to me, as I was going back through it again, just to know that as a child of the King, He hears me. He knows what I'm going through, and He's there to deliver me. Head bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around.